Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. If you look through your bulletin, I'm not going to read everything. I'll probably highlight a couple of things since I'm graded by doing well. Barbecue next Saturday from 3 to 7. Okay. I guess the Naren boys, I'm the Naren boys. I got Naren on my mind, excuse me. The Dornan guys will be cooking, okay? And it ought to be a pretty good meal. So, come on by. Mothers and Others Banquet, if you're interested, contact Elizabeth Gewin.
She's in Florida,
so you can't contact her.
Contact probably Deborah. Deborah would give you another contact. Deborah Hector.
Okay. All right. I don't know of anything else unless, Larry, you have something. No. Got to keep in mind the General Assembly meeting we're going to have. They'll be at our church on the Monday night. Right? Monday night, the 27th. I mean, our church is supposed to be, what, 600?
Possibly 600.
So, that ought to be quite a gathering. Yeah.
It'll be a good spring. I mean, Franklin Marriott, I believe it's called, all that week, Monday through, you know, through Thursday, Monday through Thursday. Okay. I believe Melody has some announcements.
I think just about the Mothers and Others Banquet. I'm kind of. But none of my mothers or others or daughters or whatever can come. So if you are not coming because you don't know anybody to sit with,
does that mean that Sam and I can come?
No, you guys.
Oh, we can't come.
I mean, guys can come, but only in a serving capacity. So, well, yeah, guys can please come, but we get
there. Okay.
Okay.
Sit in the kitchen. Okay. All right. By the way, see, we won't have to cook for that 600, so we're okay. Yeah. Anything else? Any other announcements? Anybody? Okay. I don't see any first-time visitors. Is there any first-time visitors? I don't see any. And welcome to all. Additions or deletions to the prayer list?
I was visited by an angel this week. I'm sure in the form of like a lawnmower, because I'm working four part-time jobs and finishing graduate school. And I keep telling my grandkids I don't have time to mow it, and somebody came and knocked it all down. Mom was gone. So whoever it was, it has to be somebody connected with this church, friend or neighbor. But everybody I know is connected with Jenkins somewhere. So thank you, but I don't know who it was. Nobody helped me.
Well, if Sam and I could come to the mother and brother, we'd take credit, but since we can't come, we... Okay. Anything else? Okay. R-A-Y-N-E-S? R-A-I-N-E-S. Anyone else? Okay. We bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. I call to worship this morning. We are here to give glory and honor and praise to God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, our Savior, through song, prayer, giving, speaking, hearing, and responding. Our call to worship is in unison. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done.
Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell all His wonderful acts.
Glory to His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Let's Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 270, Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, this to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord God, we come with thanksgiving to you today for so many blessings, and one of those blessings being those words that we find in your holy book. We call it the Bible. Lord, you have revealed yourself to your servants through the generations, and they have recorded it. And we have it at our disposal. And Lord, we thank you for words of life. Words of hope, words of encouragement, words about eternity, words about how to serve you, words about how to invite others to join in service to you. And Lord, we pray that you will keep us faithful to your word, keep us studying it, learning it, obeying it. Lord, the greatest word is the word of salvation through Jesus Christ. We just rejoice, Lord. We just praise your name. We thank you for seeing when we were unable to live up to the perfect life that is required before you, that you sent Jesus to live in our place, in our stead, to show us how it should be done and how it could be done. And we found ourselves unable, O Lord. You sent him to the cross to pay the penalty of our sin. Lord, we just thank you for your love to us and his willingness to give his life on our behalf. But Lord, the great story is that he arose from the grave and is alive and inspires us and motivates us, leads us even today. And in his holy name we pray. Praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We have a group of young people, I think about 18 adults and young people, traveling from Florida back here this morning even. So lift them up in prayer for a continued safe journey. Also, Reverend Diana Howe at the United Methodist Church had surgery this week. It was cancerous, and she anticipates a full recovery, but lift her, her family, and that congregation up in your prayers also.
It's that time in our service to say our statement of faith in unison. If you look on page 716 in your hymnal, you'll find the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hymn 185. I got a cute joke on the internet a few weeks ago. It kind of reminded me of the kind of informal dress we have here at the church. A man came into church one day, this particular church, and had jeans and cowboy boots and a western style shirt, and it was a pretty formal church. So the pastor had a word with him after the service and said, don't you think you need to pray to God this week and ask him what the appropriate attire is to wear to our church? So the man said, well, I'll sure do that. So he came back the next week dressed in his jeans and his cowboy boots and his western shirt. So the preacher said, I thought I asked you to pray to God about what you were supposed to wear in the church. He said, I did. And you know, God said he'd never been here before, so he didn't know what to wear. 185. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gained I count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride. For it is, Lord, that I should boast, save in the of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Were the whole realm of
turn over to hymn 490. Learning, I guess I need to say the moral for that story is that God's here with us today, and I don't think He really cares what we wear, because He cares what's in our heart. And we're here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you play just a little bit of that, please, ma'am.
Thanks to God. Our offertory sent us this morning is all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offering for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Joshua 8. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set foot, and as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your lives. As I will with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God, the land the Lord your God is given you from your own. But then the Rebelonites and the Gadites and the half-tribe Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command of Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you his land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward sunrise. Then he answered Joshua, wherever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Be strong and courageous. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. We're going to sing a couple of choruses from the Renew hymn. And this is the wrong one, isn't it?
Got it over here.
244 and 245.
Belongs to the Lord. We sing.
Not an awesome God, certainly the Israelites would never have taken the land, even a land that God gave them, because He continued to be with them through the taking of the land. We might have sung this morning the old song, spiritual, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Does anyone know that one? Would anyone like to come and sing that one for us? Peggy, you may act like you may know that one. Do you know that one? No, okay. There is more than one version of it. I guess one of them is got the simple verses, and then one of them has got one version that I found numerous versions. One version had a lot of filler between the main verses. Just for the main verses, I guess we'd call them, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. And this was an old Negro spiritual. One place you can locate it is a website, NegroSpirituals.com. You may talk about the king of Gideon. You may talk about your man Saul. There's none like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho he marched with spear in hand. "Go blow them ram horns," Joshua cried, "cause the battle am in my hand." And I have even trouble reading that real southern grammar. But real interested, if you're interested in the words, they're right here. Actually, we don't get to the Battle of Jericho until the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua. So we ended the title for the sermon, Joshua Fit or fought the battle. Actually, they didn't have to fight till they got to Jericho. I'd like to start thinking about fighting battles today, except the spiritual battles that we fight, but I'd like for us to think more in terms of being a people inhabiting a land for Jesus Christ. Taking a land for Jesus Christ. And Joshua is a story about taking a land, and we've been 3 weeks, I believe it is, in Exodus. That's a fast time to cover the book of Exodus, so we really didn't cover it. We skimmed it. We find the people coming from bondage in Egypt, on the way to the land of Canaan, the promised land, the land that had been given to the Israelites under the leadership of Abraham. And God had told Abraham to leave his
parents' country and get up and go to the land that he would show him, and he did, and it was the land of Canaan. After a couple of three generations, there was a great famine. The Israelites were hungry. They ended up in Egypt for the sake of food. Living there 400 years, they were enslaved. God heard their groanings as slaves, and under Moses led them out. Led them out of the bondage of the Egyptians, led them toward the promised land. And Moses does not get to enter the promised land. He just gets to look over and see it. And then he turns over the leadership to Joshua, and Joshua becomes the central character. The book of Joshua is a continuation of a record of a wonderful, or many wonderful acts of God. A continuation of the record, as we read it, it's the record, but it's a continuation of the record, of the story, of the wonderful acts of God. We might call them the mighty acts of God. God dealing with His people. God leading His people. And the book of Joshua is about the Israelites as they inhabit the land of Canaan. But it was not an easy task. And if you can put this in relationship to being a church in a neighborhood and hoping to have an influence, a positive Christian influence in the neighborhood. If we're going to inhabit the land, if we're going to have an influence on the people's lives, if we're going to lead them to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, and serve Him as their Lord, it's not an easy task. Under Joshua's leadership, the people of Israel were to wipe out all opposition. Now, in my mind, I have some questions about what it meant to wipe out or to get rid of the people who inhabited the land. Those who had come in and begun to dwell there during those 400 years that the Israelites had been gone. As you read Joshua, it looks like they were to go in and do physical battle with the people. And that's what they did. You know the results. Jericho, Ai, and other towns. But the question comes up, and I'm not original with it, but it's been in my thinking a long time. The question comes up, were they really set to kill everybody? Or were they really supposed? Well, let's just ask, what would have happened? Or would it have worked if they, the Israelites, rather than going in as enemies, had gone in as missionaries? Had gone in inviting the people who live there, let us tell you about an awesome God. Let us tell you about our God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, our God. Would it have worked if they, the Israelites, had led these people who inhabited the land to become worshipers of the God that they were serving? That's not how it happened. But was that the intent that God had in mind for it to happen? If they, the Israelites, would have invited these inhabitants, present inhabitants of the land, to become followers of their God. And you go back to Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham, and God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And you're going to have so many descendants, you won't know what to do with them. And that's paraphrasing it a bit. And Abraham, you're going to be gone, but they won't know what to do with themselves. And your descendants are to be a blessing to all that they come in contact with. So if you go back to the original call of Abraham, you can, at least I can in my mind, to see that that was God's intent and plan. That they not go in and be a curse to everyone, but that they be a blessing to all the surrounding people. But where we find them today, they're about to go into this land of Canaan, and they're about to take it, and it's battle after battle, battle after battle. God still enables them to take it. Take the land. But could there not have been a different way of taking it? Was God's intention not that they come in and be a blessing to those people that were already living there? If this book has any message for us today, if it has any message for Jenkins Church today, I am convinced it is not for us to do battle with anybody. If it has any message, it's not a message to do battle. Because Jesus taught us a different way. And as Christians, we see even the story of Joshua in light of Jesus. In his teachings. See, the people were teaching one thing, and Jesus came and says, folks, you've missed the mark. So we see it not to do battle, but to go in and be a witness. Go in and be a witness. Does this have a message for us today in Jenkins Church? As we are, whether we like it or not, are going to go into what to us today is the future. See, we won't be here in, is it April? April of 2005. Very much longer. What, today is the 17th, so we have like 13 days. Did I figure that right? I think I did. We've got about 13 more days. And then we'll be into the future. Actually, tomorrow we'll be into the future, will we not? But we'll be into May of 2005, and before we know it, we'll be into 2006, right? And then if we get to stay around that long, it'll be 2010. So we're going into the future. Does this story have a message for us as we are going into the future? Well, let's look. I think it does. So let's look back a little bit. Go back to Numbers 13 and 14. Before the Israelites got to Israel, you know, they were traveling from Egypt. They were traveling from Egypt to Israel, or what became Israel, but it was Canaan, they called it then.
And in Numbers 13 and 14, is Genesis, Exodus, what, Numbers next or Leviticus next? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Back in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 14, 13 and 14, before they got to this land, Moses sent out some spies. Joshua was one of them. I believe Caleb was another. He sent out spies from all the 12 tribes, sons of Jacob. And they were to go in and explore the land and see about inhabiting the land. So now one person from each tribe. And they went, they explored the land, and they returned to the desert to give a report to Moses and the other leaders. And you know the story, 10 of them, or I guess you know it, 10 of them said, we could not, it's a great land. All of them said, it's a great land, it's wonderful, the grapes are so big, it takes two men to carry one little bundle of grapes. Well, they were not little bundles of grapes, right? Took two men to carry one bundle of grapes. The pomegranates are great. It's marvelous. It's a land, really a land flowing with milk and honey. They came back with this good report, but 10 said, we could not begin to take this land. We don't have a chance against those people who live there. We've been slaves. We haven't been fed well. We're scrawny people. You know, the 98-pound before picture that used to be in all the magazines when I was growing up. When I was that 98-pound, I had aspirations of growing big and taking that, what, 148-pound specimen of a person or whatever when he challenged me on the playground. Okay. But 10 came back and said, we cannot take this land. We cannot take this land. It's too hard. We just can't do it. We might as well to turn around and gather our belongings together and go back to Egypt. We're doomed as slaves forever. There's no hope for us. But two of the 12 spies said, we can take them. We can do them. That's one reason to say that popular vote's not always the best vote, right? It might be the way we operate in our country, but it might not always be the best way. Caleb and Joshua said, we can take it. We can do this. We can just walk in and we can still take it. We might be weak and scrawny, but we can do it. The others wanted, as I said, to turn around and to go back to Egypt. And it got so bad that the people were about to stone Joshua as he urged the people to go forward. And here God stepped in. And here God, we find God angry and disappointed. Moses goes and converses with God. God spares the people. He's about to wipe them off of the face of the earth. He said, if you don't want to go to freedom, you just don't, we won't even exist. I don't need a people. In essence, he was saying, I don't need a people if you can't do as I say, if you're that scared, if you can't accept the challenge, I don't need you. And Moses converses with him or prays with him. That's what prayer is, isn't it? Conversation with God. And God spares them. But the curse was that none, not any, no one of a certain age who had not wanted to go into the promised land were able to go. They died in the desert. Only the younger generation got to go in and inhabit the land. They had to wander in the desert till all of those naysayers died. None who wanted to turn back and go back to Egypt were permitted to enter the land. Of the spies, only Caleb and Joshua were permitted to go in. Is there a message here? I think so. Is there a moral to this story? I think so. The faint-hearted can never touch the future. The faint-hearted can never touch the future. And does not every congregation have people who are afraid to touch the future? Every congregation has people who wants to stay where we are. We are comfortable now. We are pleased to be where we are. We're doing pretty good. As one man said to me one day, another congregation, another church, another leader in the church though, and another very vocal leader, and a good man. He said, as long as we can have 100 people in church on Sunday morning and pay the preacher and keep the building repaired, we're fine. We feel good about it. What kind of mission work is that? Now, his wife was very mission-minded, and she kept him going all the time. Remember, an active member of the outreach program. Yes, many. In any congregation you can find today, you will find many people who want to stay where we are. Many. The tragic part, the real tragedy, all right, may not be any worse than wanting to stay where you are. There are many people in many congregations now who want to go back to where we used to be. You hear that? I remember when we used to do thus and so in church. I remember when we used to do that. And then when there's a change in preachers, I fixed that so far. Don't know how long I'll get to keep doing it. But when there's a change in preachers, and they'll say, yeah, and you came in here and did this to us. Life does not work with staying where we are, and especially going back where we used to be. We can't turn back the clock. The future is ahead of us. Life does not work that way. A congregation on the go. As Flip Wilson used to say, and that's some people don't even know who I'm talking about. Flip Wilson, somebody does. He used to say, the church of where it's happening now. Remember him? How excited he could get? A congregation on the go needs great faith. And Kierkegaard, you'll have to do a little research to find out who Kierkegaard is. I had to look how to spell it. I think he was a German theologian somewhere years ago, and maybe I'm wrong on that. But he made the statement, without risk, there is no faith, really. If there's no risk, there's no faith, because you can already see you don't need faith. The Israelites, they kept moving toward the promised land. Folks, we must keep moving toward the future. And no matter how much some people say, we don't want to go, we don't want to go. If a congregation is going to be a congregation of God's people, there's got to be somebody who says, we're going anyway. Come on and go with us. I used to describe it, and it's not, it's been something that I've dealt with for 40 years, and I've always thought I was a bit progressive, maybe more progressive than the congregations that I served part of the time. But I said, if we can really get the wagon rolling so fast that those who want to hold us back will find that they can't hold us back and they'll have to run just to keep up, so they'll get in anyway. Go back and study the Israelites going from Israel, from Egypt to Israel. And you can see that story. They wanted to hold back, wanted to stay where they were. They didn't want to go into the future. Let us just die here in the desert, or let us go back to Egypt and be slaves again. There was no turning back. There was no turning back. Friends, I'm not comfortable going into the future. Especially as the years creep up, man, it gets more scary and scary and scary. Going into the future. But I know, and I think you know, that we must allow God to lead us, and we must be willing to follow Him, whether we're comfortable or not. My comfort zone, as we call it, your comfort zone, just must be enlarged. Just enlarge our comfort zone. And there'll be so much that happens that we will not like. So much that we experience that we will not like. But you know, your great-granddaddy didn't think he'd ever be driving a car with an air conditioner in it. Or even having an air conditioner in the house. And I remember... I remember that some people some husbands fought against bringing a bathroom into the house. Do any of you remember that? I bet some of my Arkansas relatives do. Mississippi relatives fought against bringing a bathroom into the house. And my uncle, they had a bathroom put in their house, and he maintained his outhouse. He maintained his outhouse. He didn't want the future, did he? Okay. Lesson two. How much time do I got? 4 minutes? Maybe. Joshua chapter 1. 40 years later, because they didn't want to go, they got to stay 40 years in the desert. Joshua chapter 1, 40 years later, the Israelites are standing on Jordan's stormy banks. They were casting a wishful eye toward Canaan's fair and happy land. You've sung that song, haven't you? Moses had died. Joshua is the new leader. And God says to these people as they stand there on the bank of the river, proceed to cross this Jordan. Proceed across this Jordan, you and all of this people, into the land that I am going to give them. See, it's the Lord's battle anyway. It wasn't Joshua's battle. It was the Lord's battle. It was the Lord's land, and He was going to give it to them. And then God said in verse 6, chapter 1, be strong and courageous. And in verse 7, He says, be strong and very courageous. In verse 9, He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. So, lesson 1 is that we can't stay where we are. The faint-hearted can't touch the future. Okay? Lesson two is be strong and courageous. We got to go there, whether we like it or not. We got to. Time will take us there. Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Realize it's the Lord's world that we're going into. Lesson three, the story of the fall of Jericho. Had to get over to chapter 6 for that. Chapter 2 through 5, these chapters are about the getting across the Jordan. They got across the Jordan, they built an altar in chapter 4, and then Dr. William Ramsey points out that going across, all of the people were involved. So this is lesson 3. All of the people were involved in taking Jericho. All the people were involved in taking Jericho. There were guards. There were priests who blew the horns. There was an army. There were women and children. And I would like to think that this is not really a story for us about military conquest. It's a story about hope. Hope in the power and in the grace of God. The battle is not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. that we have hope in the power and the grace of God. To touch the future. To touch the future here in this community. The near future, we call it. Or I'm calling it. And then in the life to come. The future. The eternal future, if you will. So we can say we won't go. We don't want to go. Or we'll only go if we're drug into it. Or we can say, like the hymn writer wrote, "Onward, Christian soldiers." So let's sing. "Onward, Christian soldiers." And that's 479. And it's 1, 2, and 4. We could sing 3. But as you read the words, the church is just not doing it. So we don't want to lie about it. But 1, 2, and 4. Stand together, if you will. And if we can say, we're going into the future.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Thank you.
Thank you. I just learned more about them than I did. She turns out very good.